The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14 and verse 29. The Bible said that therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. I want to read this verse of scripture again. It says that Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. I want to use for the subject tonight the rebel. Here is the story of a young man that rebels against his nation, against his father, and against God. The scripture that I just read to you is a part of a diabolical scheme fostered and fathered by the prince of darkness to destroy the very people of God. Rebellion seems to be born in the heart of Absalom, the rebel. Would you bow your heads? Father, tonight I thank thee for this people, for this congregation, and for thy spirit. I thank thee tonight, O God, for thy mercy and thy grace. I pray as we preach to this people that thy spirit would so touch their hearts that they would know that they have been in the presence of the Lord. I remind you, O God, that I am unable within myself to meet the needs spiritually of this congregation, but thou canst do this thing. And I ask you to do it tonight. Lord, as we've asked for so many times, we do not seek the plaudits of men. We do not ask for the accolades of our brethren. We simply ask, O God, that we be a channel through which thy spirit may flow. And God, I ask it in the great name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. The spirit of rebellion has been here from the time that Eve disobeyed God until this present hour. Absalom could almost typify the young people of this day and age. He was a long-haired dropout, a young man that was not with it as far as the Spirit of God was concerned and his father David. He didn't like the way the nation ran. He was young, he was handsome, he was intelligent. He was intellectual. The Bible bears out in its record that there was not one blemish upon him from the crown of his head until the sole of his feet. It could have been so different, but there was a rebellious flame that smoldered in the very depths of his soul. A rebel spirit. A spirit that seemed to take him over. A spirit that seemed to strike out against one of the kindest men that ever lived, his father David. Absalom would have gotten along very well in this slick, smart, sophisticated age in which we live in today. He would have gotten along with this modern crowd. He would have fit right into the groove with this era of society that is striking out against the establishment. But this is exactly what Absalom did. He didn't like the establishment. He didn't like the way the nation was run. He did not like civil authority. He told person after person that would lend him their ear that there was a much better job that could be done. There was a much better way to do it. His father was an old fogey. He was an old-fashioned man that was behind the times. He wasn't up to the modern trend that had set in this affluent, prosperous nation of Israel. And many listened to Absalom, and he literally won the hearts of millions of people in that day. And brother, I want you to know in this hour, this rebellious spirit that is filling the hearts of so many of our young people is winning millions to their cause. But it is a spirit of destruction. It is a spirit of wreckage, and the end thereof are the ways of death. There came a day when the die was cast. There came an hour when the lines were cut. There came a day that the dividing line was set right down the midst of Israel. The clarion call came. The forces of evil on one side, the forces of God on the other. For a few hours and a few days there, it looked like that the throne would tremble. It looked like David would go down into abject defeat. Absalom, this young prince, Absalom, this young rebel, had won the hearts of the mightiest men of Israel. Ahithophel, the Bible said, this man spoke with such wisdom that he seemed to speak of the oracles of God. He seemed to sit at the feet of God. He sided with Absalom the rebel. He went along with him. His counsel was given to this young rebel. This man fleet of foot and fleet of thought in mind. But the die was cast. The spirit of Almighty God moved. 20,000 men died that day. Those hills of Judah literally ran red with human blood. 20,000 graves were dug. 20,000 corpses littered that countryside that day. 20,000 homes that would weep in sorrow and travail. And Absalom, the rebel that rebelled against God, that rebelled against his father David, that rebelled against righteousness, on a mule that day trying to get away, his hair caught in the low-hanging limbs of a great oak tree. And Joab, the military chief and the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel, thrust 3 darts into the heart of Absalom. And 10 men came up behind him with swords in their hands and spears and literally cut his body to pieces and thrust him through. And thus the young rebel died. I said that to say this. There is but one way that the spirit of rebellion can end. There is but one road that it can take. There isn't but one conclusion, young man, and that conclusion is death. There is a spirit in this land today, a spirit of rebellion, such as has never been here before in the history of this nation, this republic, or this world. It's a spirit that grips the hearts of multiplied millions. This is not just some passing fancy or fad. This is not just some mode of thinking. This is not just some new trend that seems to have sprung up in these last few months. But this is a diabolical scheme of the powers of hell to steal and to kill and destroy. A spirit of rebellion that's gripping the hearts of millions of our young people. The U.S. News and World Report, one of America's greatest news weeklies, reiterated some short time ago. It went on to say that dynasties and kingdoms and empires and countries and governments are falling today at an unprecedented rate. And this prolific writer said that these governments are not falling to the crash of cannon and the boom of mighty artillery and the marching of great armies, but these governments are being brought down by university students and by high school students that are in a state of riot and revolution and rebellion. And brother, that spirit is in America today. It is being nurtured. It is being fathered. It is being fostered by the powers of darkness. Today, there are young people that are walking the streets of our cities that are cursing the United States of America, that are cursing those that are in the place of authority, that are screaming, burn, baby, burn, that damns all civil government and authority. A spirit of revolution is literally being fostered and nurtured in this land of America, the land of the brave and the home of the free. Rebellion against society, rebellion against the establishment, so-called, rebellion against parental authority, rebellion against the church, rebellion against God, rebellion against all laws of any nature and any kind today. This spirit literally characterizes the age in which we live today. There is an attitude that is in the hearts and lives of our young people that is deadly today. And that attitude is, we will not answer to anyone. We'll do as we please. We will not answer to mom or dad. We will not answer to the pastor. We will not answer to God if there is a God, and if he is, he's dead. We will not answer to anyone today. I had a mother walk up to me just last night. And she said, Brother Swaggart, there's a young lady in a distant state that has heard you preach the gospel. And she said, I know her so intimately and so well. Just a short time ago, she turned the age of 18. And for some unexplainable, mysterious reason, she looked her mother and dad in the face. And when she got up the morning of her 18th birthday and said, I've gone to school the last day. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go any place that I want to go. I'm going to drink alcoholic beverage if I want to do it. It's my life now. I'm not going to answer to you. You can preach. You can do anything you want to do. And that lady stood there and wept and sobbed and cried and said, Brother Swaggart, would you agree with me right now that God will somehow touch that teenager and bring her back to that place in Christ Jesus that she once knew? Mr. These are not isolated incidents, but this is happening in wholesale lots all over this nation today. Young people are looking at their mothers and dads. They're saying, you're an old fogey. I don't believe that ridiculous garbage that you're trying to tell me today. I believe I know the way I want to go, and I won't answer to you. I'll do what I want to do. I'll live like I want to live. I'll go where I want to go. I'll say what I want to say. I'll stay up as late as I want to stay. And this is a spirit that will wreck and steal and kill and destroy. Why are our youth in this condition today? Why are they in this terrible condition? Could it be that parents have failed? I am not here to harangue on mothers and dads in this hour, for I am a parent myself. My son turned 15 years of age today. I do not know all the ins and outs of raising children. I feel today that it's harder than it's ever been before. I feel the tentacles of hell are reaching out for our young people as they've never reached. This is the most dangerous, critical period that our children have ever known in all of their history, mister. Some of you parents listen to me tonight and you say, but preacher, I had the same temptations. I had the same pressures. I had the same problems when I was a young lady or a young man a few years ago. I beg your pardon, mom and dad. Your sons and daughters are facing hell on earth that you never faced. They are facing temptations that you never knew existed. They are facing diabolical schemes of hell that had never been thought of just a few years ago. They are facing merchants of darkness that are filling their pockets with ill-gotten gold as they try to destroy them with filthy pictures and illicit sex on the movie screen and with their propagation of immorality. And the new age in which we live, it is directed at our children. And 75% of the filthy literature and the filthy pictures that come from those merchants of immorality that are going to burn in hell, 75% of it winds up in the hands of our boys and our girls. And that ridiculous Supreme Court will sit in Washington in their imbecilic, moronic ways and allow it to be transported through the mails and sold on the newsstand like an open sewage, spewing filth and disease into a city and a mainstream of life. God help us today. I feel for our children. Every day that rolls around, I pray for my son. I know the devil will do everything within his power to kill him, to wreck him, to destroy him. Our children in the past few years have been raised in an environment of television. Television has become the glorified babysitter. Television is the teacher. Television is mom. Television is dad. Television tells them what to play with when they're little tots and toddlers. It tells them what to dance to. It tells them how to sway their bodies. It tells them what cigarettes to smoke when they get a little bigger. It tells them what beer to drink when they grow up just a little bit more. It teaches them of immorality. It talks about violence and pushes it down their throats. They're raised on a steady diet of it. And I want to tell you, mister, mom and dad, you'd better not take lightly what I'm saying and what it's happening today. You had better guard your family and your sons and your daughters as you have never guarded them before. What this nation needs today is some more old-fashioned parental authority. Needs some mothers and dads that'll stand up like men and women with the word of God for their backbone and for their foundation, and will live for God in front of their children. Will have a family altar and will serve notice on that boy that he's not going to go to hell. Jimmy Swaggart wouldn't be here preaching tonight. I wouldn't be singing these gospel songs tonight. I'd be in a dirty, low-down, rotten nightclub somewhere. But my dad put his foot down and said, son, you're not going to do what Jerry Lee does. You may not live for God, and I can't make you live for him, but as long as you're under my roof, you're going to respect my God. You're not going to drag in here at 1 o'clock in the morning. You're going to respect Jesus Christ, and I thank my God for it today, friend. We need some parental authority in the homes nowadays. Mom and Dad, I want you to know the old-fashioned belt may be old-fashioned, but it still does the job. It still gets the job done. And we need a lot of our parents, and I don't care how old they are. And this is some old-fashioned preaching you don't hear too much nowadays. But I don't care, Dad, if that boy can look you right square in the eye. As long as he's under your roof, he ought to respect you. He ought to respect God. You ought to be able to look at him and say, boy, you're going to church, and he goes to church. You hear what I'm saying? There was a day it was that way in America. I respect my dad today. I'm 34 years of age and weigh nearly 200 pounds, but I'm still a little bit scared of my dad, and I thank God for that old-fashioned woodshed philosophy based on the holy word of God that he raised me on. You can take some woodshed philosophy, and you can take the word of God and keep your children in the pathways of righteousness. I believe it still works. But I see children today that have rebelled, and I'm almost to the place that it's hard to strike out against them for doing it. Mother and dad, what little vestige of religion they have left is simply telling the kids to go to Sunday school, or maybe sending them. And children get sick and tired of a dad or a mom that drags in the wee small hours of the morning so drunk they can't stand, and then sending their children to Sunday school or to mass or anything else. They get sick and tired of double standard and hypocrisy, of a refrigerator full of beer, fingers stained with nicotine, dad that curses every other breath, and it's become fashionable for mom to do it nowadays too. Mom curses just as much as dad. And brother, I want you to know, womanhood in this nation has lost just about every ounce of its character and respect. You hear what I'm saying today? A lovely young lady sat by the side of a newspaper columnist the other day, and this hard, callous newspaper writer said that she dropped some coffee on her dress They were in a very fashionable restaurant, and she came forth with a stream of profanity that literally startled him. He looked at her. She seemed not to care who heard her. I don't mean some filthy piece of humanity that had gone down the pathway of sin and shame for many years. I mean a lovely young girl in her early 20s. She cursed like no sailor could curse. He looked at her and said, "What in the world are you saying?" She said, "I want to serve notice on you that we women have grown up. This is the age that we have matured. We can curse just like you men, tell our dirty jokes just like you men, speak four-letter words just like you men, no matter who the people are that are present. We have arrived. This is the sophisticated age, and womanhood has never fallen to a lower level today. And the immorality that fills this nation, I wonder why. I wonder why. And do I wonder? When I was a boy, the mode of immorality in ladies' dress was the shorts. Nowadays, it's the miniskirt and the micro miniskirts that's even worse than the shorts. You hear what I'm saying? I read an article the other day that most of the senatorial chambers and our state capitals over the nation have had to build rails so they can hide the legs of the lady folk or women folk because the congressmen and senators are unable to get any work done. And brother, I want you to know I am alarmed when I see that our so-called, it's bad enough for sinner women to do it, wear skirts, and I'm not trying to tell you how long your dress ought to be or how long your sleeves ought to be, but I am here to tell you that it's a vulgar, obscene shame at the dress styles that prevail in this nation today. I wonder, God, is it going to get to the place that men and women will walk down the streets of our cities without any clothing on whatsoever? Is it going to get to the place that filth and obscenity and vulgarity will become so pertinent and so prevalent that men and women will engage in illicit sexual intercourse right in public view? God have mercy on this nation, mister. We have sinned, and it rose like a surge through this country. And the only hope for it is an old-fashioned, heartfelt Holy Ghost revival of righteousness. A lot of our Pentecostal mothers, I see them walk into our services with dresses on that I would blush and shame if my wife had it on. And what do you think your daughters are going to be? What do you think your children are going to be, Mom, when you wear this type of dress? Little lady, listen to me. I do not say this in anger. I do not say this because I have nothing else to preach on. But I say it because I'm scared. I'm alarmed. This nation is going in the wrong direction. And these trends are wrong. They are immodest. They are immoral. They are obscene. They are vulgar. I'm not saying that you ought to look, Mom, a young lady, like some age-old dowdy person that's behind the times 50 years. But I am saying that we are Christians, children of the Most High God, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I say to you, ladies, dress modestly. Dress modestly. One of the causes of the filth and the sin is the indecent dress that prevails in this age in which we live. No wonder the rebellion. No wonder the rebellion. And another attitude that grips the heart of our young people is that do your own thing as long as it doesn't harm anyone. This is one of the big philosophies that's making the rounds today. Just do your own thing. That's the big stick. Do your own thing. Whatever you like to do, as long as it doesn't harm anyone, go ahead and do it. If it's to drink yourself insensible on a street corner, go ahead and do it. if it's for you and some immoral girl to live together and to live immorally and to even have a child and bring it into the world without the benefit of the marriage vows, just go ahead and do it. If you want to plunge a needle into your vein, just do it. If you want to pop a pill or a Benny, any way that you want to live like an animal, let your hair grow down your back unwashed until you smell, and run the streets like an animal. If that's your bag and that's your thing, do it. That's the spirit that's gripping the hearts of millions today. Whatever you do, want to do, do it to your heart's content, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. But that's where the catch comes. My Bible says, and ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? I am, mister. There is nothing in the world that you can do without it. It will affect someone else. You hear what I'm saying, young lady and young man? You do not live to yourself. You do not die to yourself. You do not exist to yourself. But it will affect someone else. One of the most sordid experiences I ever read of, I read the other day. The police broke into a home at the instigation of neighbors. I say a home, an apartment. And when they broke into that little two or three room place, they found the mother, if you would call her that, sitting on the floor under the influence and effect of LSD. She was so out of her mind, she didn't know she was in the world. Her little one-year-old baby was lying in the bathtub. Blood was splattered all over the place, and she had cut that baby's heart out of its body. And they tried to get some sense out of her, and she babbled and screamed and cried and would seem to come to sanity and then go back into a foggy world. And they picked up that little precious child with its heart cut out of its body, and she had the heart in her hands. And oh my God, it affects someone else. Do you hear me? The other day, when a young lady by the name of Miss Linkletter jumped from a multi-story window, her body dashed to death on the concrete below. Her famous father, Art Linkletter, told the American people in the world, "My daughter did not commit suicide, but she was murdered by those that manufacture LSD and sell it to those like my daughter." Mister, it affects others, do you hear me? It affects others, do you hear me tonight? Everything that you do affects someone else. I stood in a hotel room in a not too distant city, and I listened to three girls as they spoke to my wife and myself. And they had come under great Holy Ghost conviction in the course of the meeting, Assembly of God girls. And I spoke to them and pleaded with them. They had sought this audience. And for nearly 3 hours, my wife and I spoke to them about their spiritual condition. They were lovely young ladies, 16, 17 years of age, all three of them. Finally, the prettiest of the trio, the spokesman, I could tell that she had come to the place that a decision had to be made. She looked up at me just before she left and stood to her feet. She said, "Brother Swaggart, you listen to me. I am going to do what I want to do. And I am going to go to the dances if I want to go. I am going to take a drink, a highball, if I want to do it. If I want to neck and smooch and pet with a young man, I will do it. It doesn't affect anyone but me. And if I want to do it, I will do it." And she walked out of that room, and those two girls followed her. It broke my heart to see them go. They did not attend those services anymore. I heard 3 years later, now listen to me tonight, 3 years later, that girl that had looked at me and said, "Brother Swaggart, I'm going to do these things. I believe that your way's too old-fashioned. I don't believe it applies to this age in which we live. If I want to dance, I'm going to do it." You listen to me. I preached against a lot of things, and I don't like to do it. It's not exactly popular to do it, but I do it because I hurt, and I see our kids being lost, and I see people people that are being wrecked and torn. You're looking at one preacher that's against the dance. I'm against it in any shape, form, or fashion. I believe that it's wrong. I don't care if we Pentecostals have gotten updated and become spiritually sophisticated and we're sort of winking our eyes at some of the things that are happening today. Brother, the dance is vulgar. It is rotten. I don't care if it's a high school dance chaperoned by a dozen school teachers and half a hundred parents. It leads to immorality. It leads to degradation. It leads to vulgarity. And it has broken the hearts and the lives and the homes of multiplied millions. Young lady, listen to me. That body that God gave you was not intended to be used as a piece of merchandise on a bargain basement counter somewhere. This is the age of the flesh, the age of the titillating desire, the age when we tickle and tingle the senses. Do it, live it up. I think of the dances of yesterday, but mister, even those that were so different than these vulgar dances today that they pale by comparison. At those dances, that's where home started to the divorce courts. That's where young men started to be alcoholics. That's where many young ladies lost their purity and their character and their morals. And brother, it has gotten 100 times worse. And these dance programs that come over television with the beat of the guitars and the roll of the drums, this is not just some little fad called the twist or the frug or the jerk or the swim or the monkey. But this is the power of darkness that has one thing to it, and that is to ensnare your son and your daughter. Now I can see even little babies as they sit on the living room floor, and that music will come on, and they'll begin to twist their bodies, for the devil is starting, young friend. He's starting day. I am not over-dramatizing this thing. While I am speaking, there are multiplied thousands that are heading down that primrose path to hell, and they'll be wrecked and torn and destroyed and burned forever and forever. Not only be lost in hell, but be wrecked here until life becomes a veritable hellish darkness. And that girl, that precious, lovely young girl, was killed coming back from a dance as her boyfriend, in a drunken condition, turned the car over, and she never knew what hit her. The other two had to get married. The proverbial shotgun wedding. And I thought, oh my God, the wages of sin is death. Do your own thing, providing it hurts no one else. I picked this up out of the Chicago Dispatch the other day. A young girl wrote in and said, I'm 19 years old, and I think I'm losing my mind. 6 months ago, friends got me to take LSD, and I fear it has made me mentally ill. Most of my pleasant emotions and natural feelings have left me. I went to the doctor at school and later to a psychiatrist, but neither seemed to know much about the drug and treatment for its effects. Can you find any psychiatrist who is qualified and experienced in handling a patient who has taken LSD? Another attitude that grips the hearts of our youth today is a know-it-all attitude. You can't tell me anything, preacher. A psychologist said the other day, it is no need trying to show people the harmful effects of their wrongdoings, because that's never deterred anyone. Well, there is nothing else that can be done. God Almighty said in this book, if you do it, you'll die. You do it, you'll die. I know it all. Let me tell you, young man and young lady, you have the body of a man and a woman. But you haven't walked the paths. You haven't been along the trails. You don't have the experience. And what your mother and dad tells you, they know, for they have been there.
They've walked those paths. They've shed those tears. They know what is going on. You think that sex, why, the old taboos have been done away with. Let's have one more big high heel time. It's the age of the new morality today. Live it up. We can go ahead and indulge. There will be no after effects. It's the age of the pill. It's the age when we do not have to worry anymore. But brother, I want you to know, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. God said, fornicators shall have their place in the lake of fire. And you're looking at one preacher that's going to tell you tonight that illicit sex is wrong, that premarital sex is wrong, that it is not right, that it will lead to disastrous consequences. Young man and young lady, God said those words for a reason. He didn't say it because he had nothing else to say or nothing else to do. He knows about the desires and the hungers and the passions within your body. He made sex. He placed this power and this strength within you that is second only to the sensation of hunger. But he never intended for it to be debased, for it to be taken down to the level of a beast, for it to be used in the fashion in which it's being used today. This nation has literally become sex crazy and sex mad. Look at the movie advertisements in your local and daily newspaper. Every movie has become more vile and more filthy than the next. They glorify immorality. They glorify premarital sex. They glorify every base desire that springs in the heart of unregenerate man. They glorify a man and a woman living together and having children out of wedlock. They make fun of the marriage vows. They laugh at it like it's some old-fashioned, obsolete Tommy Rot. But, and this is the reason that one out of every three marriages in America is winding up in the divorce courts, friend. Our boys and girls are fed a diet of sex from the time they get up in the morning until they go to bed at night. Those merchants on Fifth Avenue in New York City, they're using this explosive power of sex to sell automobiles. You can't see an automobile on television advertised without seeing an undressed young woman standing by its side. They're using it to sell soap. They're using it to sell razor blades. They're using it to sell literature. They're using it to sell everything today. It's the hottest commodity on the markets of merchandise in this hour. They ride down the road in the automobiles, and they see it on the billboards. They see it in the books that they read. They see it in the movie advertisements. They see it in the dress that prevails in this age in which we live. And this is one of the biggest efforts of hell, to ensnare and enslave the souls of millions of our young people, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Some people think that God's old-fashioned. He doesn't know what he's doing. He ought to read the newspapers and catch up on what's happening. But he said it for a reason. Thou shalt not. And number one, the health reason. Do you know that social diseases, young man and young lady, and this is not just some little word that can be smoothed over, that you can suffer a little effect and it's all forgotten with a little penicillin or oromycin or streptomycin. But these are diseases that rip and tear and sear and burn the brain and cause little children to be born imbeciles, and because men cause men and women to lose their mind and go out of their senses. And social diseases such as syphilis and gonorrhea have risen to such heights in America that they have reached epidemic proportions. 1,300 new cases every week that rolls around, beside the millions of others that are already in this nation today. Do you believe that one out of every two teenage marriages, that the young lady is already several months pregnant with child? And it's a have-to marriage. And 75% of those wind up in the divorce courts, and that's a sorry way to start a marriage, young lady. The illegitimate children that are born in this nation every year is in a shocking number. It staggers the imagination. And girl, there is nothing any more hellish than to bring a bastard son or a daughter into this world that doesn't know its father's name. You have sinned against society and God and that child. And it'll grow up with a stigma upon it till the day that it dies. And this is the reason that God said, "Thou shalt not." Let me close. I walked into a house. I wouldn't call it a home because I would be misrepresenting the fact. Some time ago, a young girl that I knew so well stood there dressed in a manner in which I knew that something was wrong. I asked her, "Linda, where are you going?" She literally trembled when I walked through that door and turned as pale as death and said, "Of all people, Jim, you would have had to be the one to come by. God sent me." For over an hour, I preached to her mother and to her. I mean preached. And I told her mother they went to the same church mine did. If you let that girl go to that place and sang tonight, she'd been invited to one of the big Gold Coast nightclubs in Biloxi, Mississippi, that place that God smote off of the face of the earth just a few weeks ago. And I said, "Linda, if you go there," she had a golden voice, "you're putting yourself in the devil's territory. And you can expect nothing but the worst." I spelled it out, and that mother jumped up and pointed a finger in my face and said, "I resent you coming in here and speaking to my daughter in this way. I'll have you know that she has been raised right. She's been raised in church. She knows right from wrong. She would never, never do these things." Don't you ever swallow that lie, Mom and Dad. Don't you ever listen to that lie from hell. That boy and girl, when they're not saved by the blood of Jesus, they'll do anything. There's nothing they won't do. The devil will drive them. He's trying to wreck them. He's starting them out at an early age. Don't be befuddled and confused by the lie from hell that everything is all right. It's not all right. It's not all right. She said, "My girl would never do this." I wish I could say I succeeded, but I didn't. I didn't make the grade, even though I wept and pleaded and threatened and cajoled and spelled it out. I didn't make it. And 4 months later, at 16 years of age, just a child, I watched that mother and that daughter sit with head in hands and weep and cry. And that mother clenched her fist and pounded the table and said, "Oh my God, Jimmy. My girl having to marry a man 10 years her senior. No love there. Having to marry him. She was already 2 months pregnant. 16 years old." And I watched that girl put her head in her hands and the tears slip through her fingers and drop to the floor and say, "Jimmy, if we had only listened." And you know, after you take one step, young man, the other one is a lot easier to take. Young lady, you take one, it just seems like the natural thing to do to go ahead and take another one. That girl today has been married 4 times. Children that are shunted from here to there, and her life a wreck, soiled, dirted, besmirched. I want to tell you this: the devil plays for keeps, and he knows the game. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, Oh God, I come to Thee this night grateful, thankful for Thy love and mercy. Thankful, God, that Thy Spirit has prevailed in this age in which we live. Thankful, O God, that people can still come to Thee, and I'm asking You that Your Spirit would move in this place tonight. Lord, we've had to preach hard. We have not desired to do so. But, oh God, I pray for our mothers, our dads, our young people. God, touch them and speak to them in this hour. I pray that Thy Spirit would move tenderly within and throughout this place. Father, this rebellious spirit, that it may be rebuked, I ask it in the holy name of my loving Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, help us today. Help us today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The Spirit of God is here. You know what I'm going to do first of all? I'm going to talk to you, Mom and Dad. How many of you here tonight? Brother Swaggart, we need to do a little straightening up in our home. We need to get back to a few things that we once did and no longer do, such as family altar, such as stopping a few things that are ungodly and immoral, that's designed to destroy the family. How many of you moms and dads would raise your hands? Preacher, pray for me. I see these hands. Pray for me. We need prayer. Let me see them. Raise them one more time. I see them. God bless you. Could you play it, just as I am, without one plea? But that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Now, young people, listen to me carefully. I do not know how many of you that are here that are lost. But God loves you. That same power that's trying to destroy you and hate you, on the other side, God has great power and He loves you. He has a great life for you if you'll only allow Him to give it to you. How many of you young people would raise your hand? Brother Swaggart, I'm lost without God. I need prayer. Would you slip up that hand and let God see it? I do not know how many unsaved young people we have, but I have to appeal to you if you're here. Let me see that hand. Slip it up right now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Now listen to me. How many here, Brother Jimmy? I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'm talking to our young people now. I love God. I want Christians to plead the blood. I want you to pray. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Swaggart, I'm a teenager. But these pressures and temptations that you have spoken of tonight, I know of what you say. I'm experienced with it. And I need prayer that God will help me. I do not want to fail. I must not. I do not want to take that step in the wrong direction. I must not. Pray that God will give me strength to say no. Pray that God will give me strength to live as I ought to live. Would you raise your hands right now, young people? Let God see them. Slip them up. I see these hands, and God bless you so much. I want every young person in this place, below 21 years of age down to 10 years old, I want you to stand to your feet, please. Everyone in the audience, please. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Whether you are a Christian or not, a member of this church or not, I want you to come tonight, if you will, and stand right here. I will not embarrass you. I give you my word. Stand right here in this front. We want to pray for you. As we sing it, I want you to come.